What is the most important thing in maintaining a good marriage? What would you say is the most important factor? Last week we were looking in Ephesians 5 at the roles in marriage, and we were talking about the matter of the role of the husband in a particular way. And Christ is held up here as the example, as the pattern in his relationship and his love for the church. Say the church here, I mean the group of Christians, those who are believers, all believers. We're not talking here about a particular denomination or local church or anything like this. But the body of all believers that is called the church, that Christ loves, that he died for. Now, he and his relationship to that church is a pattern for the husband and his attitudes and his care for the his wife. Now, as I ask that question, what's the most important factor? I believe commitment is absolutely basic. In other words, this giving of one another in marriage, this promise, this taking the marriage vows before God and these witnesses, this determination that I will not back off from that vow, this determination that this is for good and I'm not going to change my mind, this is very basic and important to have a marriage succeed and last. Someone was once asked, what are the three most important factors in a good marriage? He said, well, the first one is commitment. And the second one is commitment. And the third one is commitment. In other words, if two people are basically committed to one another and determined to maintain that relationship, they'll work through problems, they'll have their difficulties, they'll have their tests, they'll have their disagreements, but they will stay together and they'll work through these things and they'll have a successful marriage ultimately. Now, this surely is true of the Lord Jesus toward us. Is Christ committed to me as a Christian? And I say, yes, he is. He has promised in Hebrews 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When I, as a sinner, received him as my Savior, the Lord Jesus bound himself to me in an eternal covenant. Now, we speak of the remembrance of the Lord Jesus' death at the Lord's table, or communion as it's sometimes called. We speak of the cup as the blood of the new covenant. And we're bound in a covenant relationship, in a committed relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, he takes that very seriously. He has no intention of wavering in his commitment to me or to you, if you are trusting him and have accepted him. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And in this, he is a tremendous example to every husband. The Lord Jesus, knowing our faults, knowing our weaknesses, knowing all about us, our sins, our pettiness, our selfishness, is still committed to us. And he says, I'll never give up on you. I'm going to keep working with you. I'm going to be patient with you. I'm going to never give up on you. I am committed to you. And husbands, we need to remind ourselves of this, and we need to ask God to give us that kind of attitude toward our wives. Commitment, a very vital factor in a lasting, successful marriage. Now let's look at the role of the wife. We want to think of that this time. And this scripture that we've been reading emphasizes, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Submission. Ah, that will cause a lot to feel a little uncomfortable. Submission. Isn't this the age of ERA and equality? And haven't our views on these subjects changed drastically? Isn't it true that in many churches the whole position is very different from what it was years ago? That women are taking places of leadership and functioning in roles that they did not used to? And isn't it true that today the emphasis is more on, should we say, mutual submission? In other words, marriage is a partnership, 50-50. And this business of one being the leader or one having even 51% of the say seems hopelessly outdated and archaic. But what does the Bible say? And I think that as you read this account, you have to say that the scripture emphasizes there is one who is supposed to be the leader in a home. And this passage, along with others, would say it is not to be the wife, but it is to be the husband. He's to be the leader. Now, his leadership is to be that which is to be marked by love, not by selfishness. But nevertheless, he is the one that God says is the leader, and God holds him responsible. And so the exhortation to wives here is, be in submission to your husband. What is to be the attitude? Now the last verse says, let the wife see to it that she respects her husband, or as some of the older translations put it, that she fears her husband. And literally, the Greek word is fear. Now, it doesn't mean a terror. It doesn't mean the wife is to be afraid of the husband, but there's to be a healthy respect. He is the leader. He is the one that God has placed in that role, in that position. And she is to recognize this and to encourage him and to strengthen him in this role. And the wife here, by her attitude, can either undermine and destroy a man. She can make him feel a failure by her constant criticism, and by her attitude, by her belittling. Or she can encourage him to take leadership, and she can build him and make him into the man of God and the leader that God wants him to be. And so, wives, there's a responsibility there. Every successful man has a good wife behind him, one who is concerned to see him succeed and is a supporter of him. I think one of the tragedies in many homes today is that there's competition between husband and wife. It's a competitive atmosphere. The unity, the oneness that used to once mark the concept of marriage is no longer there. It's a mutual partnership. And the two partners are often sparring for a position of advantage and arguing over the use of money. And there's almost a struggle going on as to who can be the most successful. And instead of the concept here of a unit that is functioning together, with the wife delighting in the success of her husband and encouraging him in a role of leadership, and many times he feels he's being attacked and he's competing. And this can be a very discouraging situation. I'm convinced many marriages break up because husbands get tired of competing with their wives. And maybe their wives are even quite successful. It may be that the wife, if she goes out to work, gets a job that is paying more than his. And this is very hard on a man. And then her attitude can be, well, I'm earning more money than you. I certainly should have more of a say about how it's spent. And no longer is he in the position of being really a leader in the home. So the attitude that the wife here is encouraged to adopt is that of respect for her husband. And women, you shouldn't marry a man that you can't respect. You shouldn't marry a man that you don't feel you can follow. And you shouldn't marry a man that you don't think can be a spiritual leader in your home. But if you made a wrong marriage, you better say, Lord, help me to change my attitude and to look for the good in him and to try to respect him and try to encourage him and try to build him instead of cutting him down. Because God says, this is the role that I want you to take. And you will find fulfillment and meaning in your life as you do this. He goes on to point out the scope of this. In what areas should a wife acknowledge her husband's leadership? Well, he says, in everything. There's no area of life in the marriage situation where the wife can say, listen, I'm going to be the leader here and I don't care what you say and this is it. This is my area to run. Really, the husband here as a leader is encouraged to take that role. Now, he may very well and probably will designate areas where he'll say to the wife, you can handle this better than I. You can do the shopping better than I. I think most husbands would prefer that. And you can take care of the household. There are areas you can run better. But still, he is ultimately the leader. And she needs to recognize this and to respect him and to encourage him. Now, this doesn't mean that his law, his leadership is absolute or arbitrary. His leadership is always limited by the word of God. If a husband ever says to a wife, listen, you do something that's immoral, you do something that goes against the word of God, then the wife has to say, as the apostles did long ago, we ought to obey God rather than man. But that doesn't happen very often in most situations. But I have known of cases where maybe a man was an immoral man, his wife became a Christian. He might encourage her to do something immoral, and he or she must take a stand for God. Wives, he says, be in subjection to your own husbands as to the Lord.